Om Shanti. Good evening. So we're very happy this evening to welcome our panelists, and the topic for discussion is being obstacle-free and creating obstacle-free spaces. Very relevant topic that Baba has spoken about in the Avyak Murli on the 2nd of February. And so I'm sure after this panel discussion, we'll have obstacle-free centers. So we have Brother Alan from far left. He's from the UK. We have Sister Gopi from UK. And we have Sister Patricia from the UK as well. And we have Brother Arnold from Holland. He will be our moderator. So welcome. Thank you so much. Sister Patricia is from Tahiti, sorry.
So thank you for this introduction. Maybe it would be nice to do a little bit more introduction because not everyone will know all the people sitting here on stage. And to start with Alan, he started and he was born in Holland, and then his parents went to Suriname, and he ended up in UK now in London after studying in Holland. I can talk Dutch to him. And he's working in IT in a kind of BK company, which is almost, at least I know, 3 BKs working at your firm, which is internationally active with corporate clients, and already long time BK. Sister Gopi I know from long time. I remember going for the first time to GRC, and she was there. I think you surrendered at your late teens or something. I remember you telling me. And then I saw you at when we were, Sister Marion and I were going with our daughter to the children's retreat in IYF, and especially in IYF you had a beautiful role of being the inspirator, giving inspiration. And you were coming to Holland quite often to help us in the family to grow more and better and make things easier. So, and then Sister Patricia is in Tahiti now, but also from different countries, born in France, raised in Spain, and then went on the tour around the world to search for truth and came to Baba in Spain, having Lokik family in Tahiti, which is from Polynesia. She moved there 3.5 years ago to start service there, which is nice. And she says it's a very open people there who are very receptive. So preparing this meeting, I realized that it's quite an extensive topic we have, because actually any weakness or any wrong belief or even any belief can or maybe even will ultimately create obstacles if I don't kill it before that. And so it's part of our journey to have obstacles and to become obstacle-free. And I think we will all agree that obstacles are something inside myself, because there can be a bad situation, but if my feelings, negative feelings or emotions are not involved, it's just a bad situation, and I have to figure out what's the best way to deal with this situation. When it's my negative feelings are involved, then it becomes an obstacle. So maybe the first question which I would like to ask you is, what is your most recent obstacle you overcame, and how? Who would like to say something on that?
think I'm being volunteered.
I can also volunteer you, but...
For obstacles, like Brother Arnold was saying, are mostly inside, but they're often triggered by things that are outside, and there are many, many different obstacles. But I like to sort of highlight some of my practical things that I encounter in terms of obstacles is within my Lokik work. And I think Sister Jenty said that when she had the class the other day, that one of the most important things is relationships. And I think in terms of obstacles that occur, and maybe you may agree that it's often to do with relationships. They are one of the most common sources of creating obstacles. And in my work, my Lokik work, I work in IT, I found that the biggest source of obstacles are people. Yeah, I work in IT, and technology hardly ever is a real problem. With technology, we can almost solve anything we want. But it's often the people that stop us from doing what we want to do or need to do. And so, in a sense, in my Lokik work, I see myself as a remover of obstacles. I manage a team, I need to manage the client, and for me, when I work, is really, especially for my team, I see it as my duty as removing all their obstacles so they are happy. My slogan I use internally is, a happy team is a productive team. So I do see myself as a remover of obstacles. But the single most effective way I find in clearing the air of obstacles is building relationships. If I look at my team, I try to build relationship with every single one in my team. With the client, everybody I interact with, I try to build that that personal relationship. And obviously it starts on a spiritual level, having that vision. Don't see them as a client or don't see them as a colleague, but see them as a brother, see them as a sister, see them as a soul, see them as a friend. And what I find is when you put in that effort on a relationship level with everybody, then things start to flow. People will cooperate no matter what. If you do not put in that effort, then what you will see is there will be resistance. People will resist cooperating, or they'll there will be friction, yeah. And obviously, if people don't cooperate, it will affect me and internally. And so, what I noticed is that if I put in that effort in building that relationship with my colleagues, with the client, they sort of become friends. And really, if you ask a friend to do something, they do it without any questions, and they put in that extra effort. And that's why I think I'm now very happy at my work, because I go to work with friends. And I can ask my team anything I like, and they will do it. And it's also the other way around, right? If they ask me, I will do anything for them. So that's kind of my mechanism. And with the client also, I notice people between themselves, they still have this friction, but never with me.
And can you say something about the internal work you have to do to be able to create that?
Yes. So obviously the internal work is making sure you have that right stage. And working in IT is sometimes difficult because you get engrossed in your work and you forget, in a sense, to work on that those internal things. But I have certain like checkpoints where I try to remind myself that I need to do that internal work at our office, because we work in a BK office. We have convenience of traffic control. But when I am at the client, one checkpoint I use, for instance, is meetings. When I go into meetings, one of the tools I use, or the exercises I do, is I try to be the first in the meeting. Doesn't always work if you're short of time, or the meeting room, you have to wait for the meeting room to empty, but I try to be the first into the meeting room. And then when I go into the meeting room, set that atmosphere, set your stage, like make sure that you remember Baba, of course, but as you are in that room alone, you create that atmosphere, and then as people come in, yeah, create that vision of here comes my brother, here comes Baba's child, actually, and have that vision as, it's sort of drishti, obviously, with the customer, you don't sort of give them openly drishti, but you have that vision as they come in. And that is the internal work you do, because you set the foundation for the meeting, not only the atmosphere, but that personal relationship with each and everyone that comes in the room. And for me, if I do it, and compare it when I don't do it, when I rush into the meeting or whatever, the meetings go completely different.
Thank you. You're actually also referring to the way of creating obstacle-free spaces. This is actually
That's
what
right.
you're doing, yeah. Gopi, would you like to say something about overcoming an obstacle?
Well, I guess the most recent context, if you're asking for situations, has been since last year, just taking up the whole aspect of health and hygiene in Madhuban. And I remember being in London, and Bridgeben, who used to be in the kitchen in Oxford, she was in Manchester. And I was sharing the news of the progress of health and hygiene in water in class, and she started to laugh. And she said, "There's only one problem. They don't see anything clean. Sorry, they don't see anything dirty, and we don't see anything clean." And it was just so accurate, that sentence, that they don't see anything dirty and we don't see anything clean. So on what basis are we implementing standards of health and hygiene in a campus? Just at that level. And so, you know, at a very subtle level, obstacles have a very deep connection with perception. There's something in my drishti that's making me see something in a particular way. And especially in the context of relationships, when you start to see someone as an enemy, I think that indicates some deeper work that needs to be done. Because this is exactly what Ravan wants. You know, he wants you to turn one Brahmin against the other. And it's the divide and rule policy. And so often, you know, feelings and drishti has a very deep connection. Perception has a very deep connection with attitude, with what I'm holding on to inside at a very deep attitudinal level. And then, you know, keeping the attitude clean. I mean, this has been one of my subtle practices over this last year, because entering the machinery of Bharat, it's an unlimited machinery. And in the first instance, obstacles take on many forms. The first form is people's disbelief. They just don't believe you, or they don't believe something's going to happen. So disbelief was something we faced, resistance because of disbelief. Obstacles because people were stuck in certain thoughts were unright. And this is how I see something has to happen. Obstacles because people had personal desires linked to what they wanted to be done. So there was the essence of what needed to be done and then all the rest of the detail. And then there was obstacles because some people just thought too much about things. And I started to look at all this and I started to think, if I think about any of these people, I will die. So I have to do something else inside. And I very deeply realized that if I create any thoughts about any individual or any person, I open a pathway to being infected. Because their weakness will start to infect me. And I will lose clarity on actually what needs to be done. I lose broader discernment. I lose farsightedness. So I began a very subtle practice inside, something that I've often taken a lot of inspiration from, Daddy. And that is nirsankalp, creating a mental state that is free from thoughts. And it worked, I have to say. Impossible things started to become possible. Within that process, you have to remain extremely patient with people's, wherever they're at, and just say, look, it's going to get done, slow down, slow down, it's fine. And somehow, because you're not thinking, there's a powerful spiritual energy that enters the equation that starts to reassure people without words. And, you then start to find a machinery that's stuck, which is what happens, start to move. And when there's movement and circulation of energy, often people become solution-oriented. They start spinning the cycle forward instead of backward. You know, obstacles are a product of a deep aspect of our nature and samskaras. And there's some aspect of our nature and samskaras that's ruling our mental state that we can't see. And so, when someone's stuck in an aspect of their nature and samskaras, what do you do when someone's stuck? You don't drive them into the ground. you help them move. But that requires an incredible amount of patience and tolerance and really internally creating a stage that's free from any thoughts about what's happening as one aspect of it that I found. And then, that feeds something else that's very powerful, which is faith. This yajna and our connections as Brahmins is actually originally built on faith. Our faith in Baba, our faith in our completion, our faith in Dharma, and our faith in each other. When you've had an eternal relationship with souls, we help each other out to settle karmic accounts. That's a fact. But also, keeping a vision of deep faith, it has a powerful impact in souls. I think that vision of faith creates safety for someone. And enables their own beauty and virtues to be cultivated and activated.
So, thank you. So if I understand correctly, you did this internal work of not thinking about a situation, which normally someone would be taking a lot of thoughts about it, how to get it better, and to have faith. Because that's something you need then, and that it will solve itself if I have this right.
I mean, one thing that's important to understand when you enter something, if it's in your part, it will come to you. So you're not going to push for something or look for something. And I think staying true to what you see, what's clear, not what you see, but what's clear, and acting on what's clear. So it's not that, I sat and I did nothing. Because there was things to do, but as I was observing, all I was doing is connecting one thread to another thread, to a third thread, to a fourth thread, and keeping the communication channels going until that person or that group of people started to generate solutions for their own context. And that was my part. And so understanding your part is very important, because you can overstep it and take on something that actually doesn't belong to you. You know, often when people have, either it's been departmental issues internally, and you know, they're stuck. They felt that they haven't had the resources they wanted for a long time, and they're stuck somewhere. In that moment, when we're moving towards a solution, you'll get the initial outburst of their stuckness. But then if you let that pass, they will start to think in a solution-oriented manner, because they want to move forward. And so I can't take that work from them. That's their work.
Yes, and it requires patience.
Yeah.
Because people take their own time to get over whatever they have. And that can be a little bit difficult when you also have a task.
Well, my experience in the last year is, depending on how each soul has looked after themselves. Because, you know, in my recent journey, I do get to meet a lot of souls that have certain issues or whatever. And often for me, the first question that's important to ask is, okay, you tell me about the situation, you tell me about the context, what's right, wrong. But I want to ask you one question. What is it, at what point did you let go of Baba that another person came in between? If you find that point, then you can begin moving in the right direction, because that's the point of real honesty. That here's Baba, and Baba's telling me everything's accurate. Baba's telling me everybody has their part to play. Baba's even telling me that Brahmins are going to help other Brahmins settle karmic accounts to save me from Dharamraj, so don't worry, be happy. Baba's telling me that, you know, we are going to go to Satyug. So if he's saying all that, then what's the problem? You get my point? So at a very deep level, I have to own something. Something's come in between me and Baba. And if I don't start to see that at a subtle level, then inevitably, you know, that thing or that situation is the problem for me. And I become the problem on seeing the problem.
Sure. Then you become the problem yourself, in a sense. Thank you. Patricia, would you like to say something about obstacles?
About obstacles. Well, I must say that for me, an obstacle is, it's maybe a situation that you haven't been able to deal with because of, you know, personal, like, for instance, fears or expectations. But at the beginning, an obstacle is before a situation. And I must say that the last few years, I have had a quiet path and rhythm. You know, I'm on an island, in an island, but something that could have been an obstacle is that I'm alone. I'm by myself, and I've got thousands of kilometers of ocean, you know. I'm far from everywhere, everyone. But it could have been an obstacle. It could have been, but it's... I have transformed that in a wonderful experience. Baba is offering me an opportunity to be only with Baba, my only, you know, my closest friend and person I live with is Baba in the center. So I have transformed this situation that could have been difficult into an opportunity. So actually I think all the situations we go through, it's we can either transform them into a problem or an obstacle if we get stuck by the situation. And if we get stuck by a situation or if we take sorrow, there must be something to check within, like fear or expectations or want of recognition, etc. So Baba has given us so many tools to generate harmony in our inner life and in our relation with others. So I think Raja Yoga, I mean our life of a yogi, is learning to use the tools Baba has given us. And we have a treasure store of tools. And otherwise, I think, anyway, I like also very much, I like the second part of the title, you know, generating spaces or creating spaces that are free from obstacles. And I think this is magic, like Gopi and Alan were sharing. We have this capacity to generate a vibration or to raise the frequency in a space, you know, like when Babdada comes to the hall, he raises our awareness and we are like bathing in a very high frequency vibration that generates another level of consciousness. And I think we can also do that where we work, where we live, in the centers. It depends on the attitude, the inner attitude we have, the consciousness we have, but we can also generate a very spiritual vibration that will, first of all, protect the atmosphere, make the atmosphere more sacred. And it is also an invitation for the people who will enter that space to also, you know, it is like an invitation, an inspiration for them, and I think they will do it spontaneously to raise their consciousness. So if you generate spaces where there is peace, light, good wishes, pure feelings, feelings of benevolence, well, people will feel very more comfortable. And then the more specific or direct attitude towards people is also building bridges, as Alan was saying, building bridges between one another. And when you focus on people's qualities, on their original nature, which is very beautiful, well, automatically the response will be positive and beautiful. And so you create bridges, you generate cooperation, and then you leave behind all the feelings or thoughts that would be more, ordinary. If you raise the atmosphere, you leave behind all that is ordinary or negative or, you know. So I think it's a very beautiful art we can use in our lives.
Thank you. That's a beautiful description of creating an obstacle-free space for me. Can you say something about the personal work, personal insight work you do to be able to do that? Because if there is an obstacle, one of the problems is that it's not so easy to create is to have this feeling of openness and everything is okay, and because at that moment the feeling is it's not okay.
Yeah, everything is okay is not an easy thing to say or to believe, because there are many things that are not okay. And first of all, to start with our own transformation, we have to deal with our own sanskars, memories, traits of character, etc. So we may feel hurt, our ego, our anger, everything can, you know, burst. But this is a question, I think, a question of spiritual maturity to, again, to use everything that Baba is giving us. Because, of course, I can be stuck by a problem unless I have a very difficult wound or, you know, something really that needs to be dealt with, maybe with a professional. But otherwise, in our Brahmin life, I mean, personally, I've been trying to face. It needs courage. I mean, we need courage to be a Brahmin, because every day we are facing the truth. We are listening to Murli. We are exposed to the purest mirror of all, which is God's thought and God's love. And again, this is giving us the power and the courage to raise to the level He's seeing us. So, for me, this question of being free from obstacle doesn't mean I don't face my own, story and things to work on, but I try not to get stuck and to move forward. And because an obstacle, it's something that stops you in your progress, in your progression. So, courage, honesty, humility, acceptance, I mean, you know, all the virtues and all the powers, they are here to be used, and I think this is manageable.
Thank you. I would like to go a little bit more looking what some closer about maybe we can define some steps which you use to overcome an obstacle, in the sense that if you look at a situation where something is wrong and some internal thing is being touched, then the first step would be, I have to be aware. I have to be aware that there's something wrong here, that there's an uneasiness inside, or there's maybe even a little irritation, which creates an obstacle here and there. And then if I'm aware of that, or maybe I'm still in this feeling of it's them, or it's the situation, or it's not me. And if I'm aware of that, the next step could be maybe acceptance, because if I don't accept that this is the situation at this moment, also internally with me, then there's no starting point. Then I'm staying in resistance, and there's nothing to start from. What would be a next step, if you agree with me that these are maybe first and second step, what would be a next step to take to when something is really, when you are stuck, actually, as you said, and you're aware that you're stuck, what would be a next step to take to get out of the situation? Because something internally is blocking you then in that situation.
I think when you're stuck, you are an obstacle in that moment, is how I see it for myself. And I think that when you recognize that you're maybe reacting too much inside, or something's affecting you very deeply, then honesty is the best policy with yourself. And you know, being honest with the self is a very deep journey, because on the soul there are so many influences. There's Baba's influence. There's the influence of our past karma. There's the influence of our old nature and sanskars. But there's also the influence, and it's a very quiet influence, of our complete stage. And sometimes, you know, when my heart feels a bit full, I have to sit back with Baba. My journey, of course, none of this process happens without Baba, really. Because you can't be honest with yourself without Baba. You keep just recycling your own old feelings and analyzing your old feelings and getting more and more heavier with your state. And so when you're with Baba, that's how I feel, when I'm with Baba, I just kind of take a sit back and I just examine what are the influences on the soul right now. Now, you know, within the kind of description of things, I remember a class Daddy gave many years ago, and she was talking about how when tests come, they come to test your knowledge. When you are experiencing omens, right, in Hindi we say grechari, it's an omen is, it means you can't, you feel like you want to move forward, you have everything, but you can't. That's an omen. It's linked to your past karma. But an obstacle is linked to your nature and sanskars now. What you think about yourself now and other things and situations. And so that's why she would always emphasize, don't think. Because not thinking will start to support you to become more honest. To be able to see, as a detached observer, the influences that are starting to work inside. And not thinking has the added benefit of allowing Baba's energy to work. Which for me is way bigger than mine. And even if I have the worst stage in the world, it's amazing what Baba can do. So sometimes what can happen is that if we get too self-absorbed in our stuff, we become, and then we spread that vibration. And people don't feel Baba's presence. So there's something about, you know, being with Baba and yourself in a way that lets you observe the influences and start to be honest about what are the influences here. Because that's all you can do. The rest, you have to let Baba's presence absorb it. That's what I find is really from the heart. When you're faced with that quality of energy, Baba, this is yours. I don't want this. This is yours. It's like a disowning. A very subtle disowning. But, you know, sometimes we don't disown that energy. We just sit with it. And we experience heaviness. And one of the practices that I find that's been very helpful for me, because in the day you work a lot, you do so much in situations, but at night, I just talk to Baba. And I just tell Baba, Baba, this is what's happened in the day. This and this and this. And it's almost like as I tell Baba, the load diminishes. And as the load diminishes, any other influence also starts to diminish. So for me, it's about just being honest with Baba and in my relationship with Baba in the sense of giving everything to Baba. That's important. And how many times, sometimes at the end of the day we sit and, okay, we talk. Okay, Baba, I did this and this and this and this and this, but nothing's changed inside. Your feelings haven't changed. But heart-to-heart conversation with Baba, because you want Baba to give drishti to everything you've done in the day. Baba, look. Baba, look. Baba, look. And as you start to do that, you leave Baba's room very light. And I think sleep then really heals you. It'll heal all past trauma, all everything. Sleep is wonderful when you sleep with that kind of consciousness of being deeply free and light inside.
So that seems also a method to prevent things becoming real obstacles, because at the end of the day, so that's a sort of shortcut to let things not going to become big. Because one of the disadvantages of feeling, being this feeling of I'm stuck, then there's also this narrow-mindedness that the limitations in options. The options seem very limited, so you have to go back. That's what you also say here. You're saying you have to go back to Baba to create more space. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's true that sometimes we go through times where, you know, we get stuck or there is suffering, and sometimes you may even feel totally crushed you know, or even, I don't know how you say, with your feet, you know, you're dead, trampled, or you feel you have died, you know. And first, of course, you can accept it. I mean, personally, I accept it because I know that a part of me has to die because it's not present in the deity, in the future deity. So something has to die, and dying is not particularly enjoyable. Baba said you have to die alive, but it's true, but death is painful. It can be your ego, it can be your beliefs, it can be expectations and everything. So when I've gone through those difficult times, I accept it totally, and I surrender to Baba. I speak to Baba and I open myself totally. And I've had these experiences several times that when you're honest, as Gopi was saying, really honest, I've felt that like Baba is scanning you, you know, like a scanner in a hospital. Like Baba has a big scan and he's scanning your heart, your soul, your feelings, and he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows, he understands exactly what is happening to you. And then there may be some time, you know, where you're still dead, so, okay. But then there will be a new wave of, you know, life will begin again. Because when you're a Brahmin, you have this good karma. We try to do good karma, you know, constantly. We meditate, we study with God, we remember God. So there is a lot of, we have a huge accumulation of very pure energy. So this pure energy is within us, is alive within us. So, but it has to, you have to wait a little bit to be patient, and the next wave will come again and will make you alive again. And you think, oh, I'm back, I'm alive, you know. But you have a new eyes. It's a new life that is starting, you know, after the storm. Then you have learned a very deep lesson, probably. You have transformed something. You've gone maybe to Baba's surgery. So it's a new life, and it's wonderful.
So you're going through Baba's scanner.
Yes.
And you have patience also. You are able to just wait till the situation changes, till the effort will have its fruit. Yeah, nice.
I think patience is very important.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we count time in hours, in days, in weeks, but our spiritual time is a bit different from, you know, the calendar time.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The soul needs its time to transform, to heal, to understand, to process.
Thank you.
In terms of steps, I think I try to do something very practical and take 2 days Murli. And even in terms of obstacles, I think 2 days Murli was very, very clear. Baba was talking about thorns today. You can see an obstacle as a thorn, or a thorn as an obstacle. And one of the things that he was saying is that even if you have a trace of vice, there is a thorn. And so that becomes the obstacle. And so you can see, you can ultimately relate back any thing in terms of obstacle or internally where I get stuck, source back to one of these vices. And in terms of once I've seen this, once I've accepted, as you were saying, the next steps is first use the Murli. I find it very, very applicable, very often, if not always, to whatever it is I'm facing, but to kind of overcome them. Sister Gopi was saying, don't analyze, don't think, and I sort of agree. Once you start analyzing, you just start thinking about the thing even more, and you give it power. And that's often what not necessarily is needed. And one of the things, the next steps I would use also is to have the faith, yeah, that you will overcome this. Yeah, in the world out there, there is all this visualization, so you can have this vision of yourself overcoming this. And one way to have that faith is to really understand that Baba has that faith in you. One of the exercises I do sometimes when I listen to the Murli is I try to note down all the titles that Baba is giving me, because he's talking to me. Not to any of you, he's talking to me.
Definitely.
And really take that that title at the heart. Yeah, he literally calls us the conquerors of obstacles, right? And really, if Baba sees it, then it must be there within me, and really having that faith to emerge that title, to become the embodiment of that title that Baba sees in me. That sort of, I think, ultimately will lead to that vice slowly becoming smaller and maybe even diminishing over time, and automatically the obstacle disappears without me specifically giving it that attention.
Thank you. Yeah. Using Baba's Murli, which is a resource which is endless.
It's a very subtle thing, working from a place of self-respect. You know, perhaps last week in one of the Amrit Velas, I just had this feeling at the end of Amrit Vela, Swaman se kaam lena hai, means I have to make use of my self-respect in everything I'm involved in. And you know, when we talk about faith, the spectacles of faith let you see things for what they are. And the pathway becomes obvious. That's what my experience is. Now, if I'm trying to have faith, it means at some point deep inside, there's a subtle desire or expectation for an outcome in this situation. Because I don't think you can try to have faith. I think you either have it or you don't. But in that moment, if I can detect any thread of subtle expectation, do I want something from this situation? Do I want a particular outcome? Do I really want them to be happy? You know? And I release those strings, faith does its work. You start to see a path. You start to see with clarity what's going on. And that clarity is very supportive for people because it's truthful. It's not coming from a space of manipulation, or subtle manipulation, or trying too hard for somebody, pleasing anybody, but it's coming from a place of just seeing reality. And, you know, I remember a group of souls one time were working on a very big project and were having difficulty in getting on with each other. And they came to see Daddy. And one of them said to Daddy, how can I work with this, with a particular soul if they lie to me? They're lying to me, so how can I work with them? And how can I trust them? And Daddy's response was very nice. She said, you can't trust someone's nature and samskaras because they're always changing. You know, today's one thing, today's nothing. But what you can trust is what Baba wants to do through them. And I liked that answer very much. So seeing through the spectacles of faith in a person has to do, especially faith in others, because that's often the weak link, has a lot to do with just sitting back and simply just inquiring, holding a space to see what is it in this soul that Baba has chosen and that Baba is working with. and that Baba wants to do, and that's what we then work with. You don't work with the rest of the packaging, you know, or the detail. You hone in on activating that energy. And once that's activated, it starts to have a big influence on the rest of their dynamic. They become calmer, they have something to hold on to, their nature and sanskars are less reactive. But so much of it has to do with coming back to this place of my drishti. And you know, obstacles are a means for deepening love. It's absolutely the case. You cannot say, why has this come to me? Why is this happening to me? This is like, you know, thoughts that are useless. They come for a means to deepen love. Because if they didn't come, then we wouldn't make the effort to stay close to Baba. And I've had many experiences in this instant. And that experience of love, deep love, makes you thank the person, whoever they are. Thank you for being like that. Because of that, I made the effort to take love from Baba, and I felt this love, so thank you. It's like a wonder. I remember one particular instance, and I'd been met with a fair bit of opposition, in the sense of that person did not want me there, and they'd stop talking, and of course, they stopped coming to class. I was, you know, giving class. They stopped coming to class. So it was like a real statement of, you're not wanted. And it's a dark energy when a Brahmin soul is like that. And of course, I said to Baba, look, I'm not going to let this energy defeat me. Your love, if you are God, your love has to be more powerful than this energy. So I took up a mission of in the morning, starting my Amrit Vela at 3 o'clock. And I had a bit of a task to accomplish there. I had to have a meeting with this person. I had to take a reply back from the soul to Daddy, etc., etc. So I started in the morning to have my Amrit Vela. And I would just start to open that massive channel of love. I said, your love has to be more powerful than this energy. And the second thing I started doing was cleaning and cooking. Atmosphere lightening, which is really important. Just to keep the atmosphere clean, light, cook food. I'd leave food on the table, that soul would eat it. And on the fifth day, when I had two more days left there, it was like a waterfall of love just exploded above my head. And I was just bathed in so much love. And I thought, this is who you are. And that morning, that soul came for Amrit Vela in the same room. That soul came for Murali class. She was as light as a feather. And we eventually had a constructive meeting. And in my heart, I was so thankful for how she'd been. Because had she not been like that, I wouldn't have witnessed the magic and the unlimited nature of Baba's love. And so it was a very defining moment for me. That these obstacles are extremely important in deepening the quality of our love.
So an obstacle is a gift.
Absolutely. Pure love is the destination.
It helps me to solve my issues in a sense. And it helps me to go to the only source which is really helpful to solve the issues without too much problems.
And often we don't realize that power is there. I think in terms of self-respect, I think we often underestimate ourselves, the power that we have, and the power of Baba that works through us. One of the things I noticed within myself is that often change is there, but I'm not focusing on the change. I'm focusing on the negative side. But if I broaden my vision and I see that change happening that will empower me even more to do whatever it is that I need to be doing to bring about that change. And that brings the enthusiasm and it brings that internal faith that that change is happening. But we keep focusing on those negative things and not see the change that is happening. So really being honest with yourself, as Sister Gopi was saying, and really seeing clear, not beyond just the negativities, because change is happening.
Yeah, and also, as Gopi was mentioning, that having an expectation is an obstacle in itself, because then I'm still stuck in the situation. So this ability to really trust that if my effort, my internal effort, is what it should be, and if my connection to the source, to Baba, is, I let it go, I let it do its work, then it will solve. Whatever the outcome will be, because how that will look, if I have a vision of that, how it will look, then I'm still stuck, I think. So we are nearing our gift ceremony. And actually I had a plan to give the floor, the audience also some space to ask questions, but as things went, we're already at the end of the hour, which I found very, very rich actually. Thank you for sharing all these beautiful experiences. And, thank you for coming and listening. Maybe we can end with a minute of meditation. Maybe? Anyway, we can do it.